Tricia, you speak many languages, and you're a part of our new team, which I'm very excited about. What would you like to share about this opportunity? How are you going to apply it?
I've already started. I talked to a company that I'd been in touch with in May, and he was giving me the brush off. But I said, well, you know, what I've been doing since we talked the last time, and I mentioned the fact that I'm coming to Coachville, and I'm going to learn how to coach, how to train people to coach. And just using exactly the same sort of words, although in Swedish, that you've been using. And all of a sudden he said, that's interesting. I'm interested in, send my CV again. Of course, he'd completely forgotten who I was. But he was interested again. So just talking about it, I found that people are interested. Whether they're going to buy it is another thing, but it was a really good aha for me.
Yes.
Learning that. The other thing was, I was talking to my brother-in-law today, and he said, what is coaching? You know, I'm not going to go and ask anybody for help. And I said, well, if you were a football player, you want a coach, wouldn't you? Oh, is that what it's all about? So changing the language so that it's applicable to the person you're talking to. I never thought of using the coaching example until you started talking about it during these classes, these discussions. The sports coach is a hero, but they don't even know what we're doing as a coach.
Yes, exactly.
Obviously, changing our language and looking at it from the point of view of the people who want to learn how to coach.
Yes, is
really important. So I'm even more enthusiastic than when I decided last week to join.
Nice. Excellent, Tricia. Well, I'm getting more enthusiastic as this conversation is unfolding, so thank you for that, too. That's awesome. This is a really big point that Tricia just brings out. It's such a big, big point. I can't even tell you how big it is. It's ginormous. And this is another thing that coaches, we have to do something about. And it's going to take all of us together to do it. This is going to be the subject matter of my first set of broadcasts. I'm going to start this new thing. It's going to start on Monday. And it's going to be called the 2-Minute Coach. And it's going to be these little Dave rants or ideas or questions to think about. And we'll be sending it on the email. It'll be part of the game system, so if you can comment on it, etc. I think one of the biggest problems that we have to face together is the stigma that's associated with having a coach. There is a stigma from the 20th century where 20th century coaching, and there was countless articles, conversations, speeches, I can't even tell you how much, how many, thousands. And the subject of these conversations was, if you have someone on your team that has a problem, get them a coach. And coaching was presented as an intervention for problems. You got a problem employee, try coaching. Got a high performer that's slacking off, try coaching. And that's how coaching was positioned. So for millions of people that read these articles and heard these speeches and all that stuff, in their minds, until we really work hard to change their mind, in their mind, coaching is an intervention for people with problems. And so they don't want that. No one wants to think they're the one with the problem. And then on top of that, the ICF, which when it was originally formed was meant to be a coaching thing, but it quickly evolved and emerged because there's so many therapists initially coming into the coaching field that had leadership roles, a lot of the original mindset of coaching and the ethics and all these things really came out of a therapeutic model. And the therapeutic model is based on complete, you know, anonymity and confidentiality, and no one can ever know that you're someone's therapist. And we have the same thing now in coaching. No one can ever know you're their coach. It's got to be a big secret. And no, you know, it's confidential and all this stuff. Now, while I think it's wise that what you talk about with your client is confidential, it should not be confidential that someone has hired you. That should be public information. It shouldn't be a big secret, oh, Jim, you know, I hired a coach, and then it's like, oh, we must have something wrong, we've got a coach. While this problem pain-based coaching models and coaching conversations exist, we will never break free as a profession. We will never break free. So as a collective, we need to make up our minds and act in the marketplace with new language. We cannot market coaching as an intervention for your problems. We cannot do pain-based marketing like, oh, you've got big pain in your life. Hire me. I'm a coach. I can help you with your pain. If we're marketing that way and all the messaging people read is that way, they'll continue with this mindset that coaching is for people with pains and problems. And that's not what how people want to see themselves. So we need to market coaching as coaching is for people who have possibilities, for people who have purpose, for high performers, like athletic coaches, tennis coaches, golf coaches, high-end entertainers have coaches. And, you know, I'll never forget this interview I was listening to with Diana Krall, amazing jazz singer, jazz pianist. And on the interview, she was raving about her new piano coach, raving, so happy. Oh, I have this new piano coach. And she was an accomplished musician with many albums, great success. I think she had already won the Grammy at that point. She was raving about her new piano coach. It wasn't like a big-ass secret. Oh, my God, I have a new piano coach. I can't tell anyone that me, Diana Krall, actually have a piano coach. She was raving about it on a public radio, listen to millions of people. So you'll hear me talk about this on a two-minute coach coming up, but my pledge that I'm making, and I'm going to challenge all of you to do the same, is I will, from this day forward, I will not let anyone hire me as their coach, either one-on-one or group, unless they're willing to make a public announcement that they hired me. Either on Facebook or a press release or some public announcement. I just hired Coach Dave. CEOs, business people, all the people I coach, leaders, unless they're going to make a public announcement that they've hired me, they can't hire me. That's my new deal. You have to make it public or you can't have me. So that's one of my new stands in life, that coaching and the existence of coaching for life and business should be a public record, not a private thing. And, of course, what we talk about is private, but the fact that they hired me should not be private. That should be public. So anyway, I'm going to be talking about this and ask you all to, if you want to play big in this manner, to make a pledge that you're going to do the same. That's coming up in a little while. But anyway, I'm a little off track. I want to just amplify, what Patricia said about the stigma, that she was talking to this fellow and he's like, oh, I don't want people to know, you know, I have problems. And that's something you all have to recognize. That when you talk about coaching, it's, you know, it's management. So you say coach, they hear manage because it's all they really understand. They hear you're going to command them, control them, compliance, like their high school football coach or whatever. And they also hear, you think I have problems. You think I have pain that I can't solve. So that's why you want to coach me. That's what's in their minds. So you have to recognize when you're talking to someone what is in their mind, which is why talking to them about being a coach for others is easier than talking to them about hiring you as their coach. Because it's a skill set that people are beginning to recognize they need. Have you noticed that the people on your team, the people you serve, they usually don't do what you tell them to do. Yeah, that happens all the time. Well, that's because you're using management science. If you learn coaching skills, you can collaborate with them, you can connect with them, you can inspire them, and there's a way higher probability that when you collaborate with them, they'll actually do it. You'll have more fun and have better results, and they'll have more fun and have better results. That will be interesting to a lot of people, managers, leaders, teachers, parents, doctors, all healthcare professionals. These are all professions and crafts and things where it was basically you got to tell people what to do, show them how to do it right, make sure they do it right. And it doesn't work well anymore. So now what? Well, coaching is the answer. Coaching skills, coaching mindset, coaching language set, that's the answer. And so what this program does is gives you the ability to offer something that's really solid. You don't have to invent it. You know it's really good because most likely you've participated in it. So that's the idea. Larry, did you want to share something else?
Yeah, something that you mentioned really rang a bell for me. I was one of the first ICF members when Thomas started it, when he called us all into Texas and we started ICF.
Nice.
And it has changed. It has changed amazingly. But when I went to the last ICF convention here in California that I attended, I started walking around asking people, so did you get your start or did you learn about coaching from Tony Robbins? And nobody ever wanted to admit that they got inspired by Tony. However, they're totally using his methodology. His whole concept is you move faster away from pain than you do moving toward pleasure. So stir up the problems and sell your coaching.
Yes.
I was a Tony Robbins coach for 2 years. I know his methodology. It was based on the therapy model. Because he really was, he wanted to be a therapist, but he couldn't get a license.
Right.
Therapists are doing coaching instead of therapy, and they're getting their insurance money for it.
Interesting.
That's why it has to be confidential. It's a medical model.
Yes.
We're closer to being mediators in life. Okay, we don't have a structure. I mean, there's no law as to what coaching is. There's no laws about mediation.
Right.
And that's
it's a great point.
Skill sets are very close. I mean, if you're a coach and you need a multiple stream of income, consider a little bit of mediation work. You'd be amazed at how good you are.
Yeah, right. You'd be an awesome mediator, right?
Right. Amazing. And now there's a new thing. Did you notice that they never used to talk about who was mediating? Now, when there's a mediator,
now they
coming,
do.
You know who the mediators are.
It's such a good point, Larry. It's so true. All the big deals where you hear, oh, so this is a big conflict between so-and-so and so-and-so, and Bill Smith is the mediator. They make a big announcement about it.
Exactly. And
that's
yes,
an awesome
everything
point.
That goes on in mediation is confidential. And that
yes.
has been upheld by the Supreme Court. Actually, mediators are the only people besides lawyers and doctors and priests who are considered incompetent witnesses. And as
Very
coaches, we don't have that. And that's
no.
what bothers me when the ICF is guaranteeing confidentiality because, quite frankly, as a coach, you can be subpoenaed and you will have to testify.
That's a true fact, yes.
Anyway, that was my rant.
No, it's great. Larry, I think it's an awesome point, some awesome points that you're making, and it's awesome. And it's, I always love having you in conversations because you were around even before I was. I didn't even know that's possible, but it is possible, and you were one of the few. So I always appreciate your perspective. So thank you. That's a great, great point.
Hi, this is Donna from upstate New York. I'm glad to be aboard.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I wanted to answer the question you put out about why I am here.
Great.
First, I want to acknowledge the fact that I take that pledge. I will no longer work with someone unless they will acknowledge me as a coach. I have done that one time too many, and I think that if they understand, or if I try to make them understand that, well, there are some coaches that work with people that have problems, but there are people that work with people to help them play a bigger game, like sports coaches, like people who are trying to get their thesis and dissertation. There's a lot of other people that work. I don't work with people that have problems, and so therefore I want you to acknowledge that we're going to create a bigger game, and that you'll let others know we are creating a bigger game. So
nice.
I take that acknowledgement. I think it's absolutely essential. We have to come out of the shadows, out of the closet. And I think you're doing that.
Well
also,
said.
I'm here because, you know, I had that, you know, that coach bill that first time way back when. Thomas out there is going to be great. And it, you know, it went and then it kind of stopped, got stuck in the station for a while. And I think now it's about to bust the station out. Okay?
Nice.
So it's going to have to need a new station to contain it. So that's what excites me. That's what I joined for the first time. I also I want and need a community of learners that are willing to play hard. So I want to play my best, and I want to be among those that want to play their best. And all of our best may be different, but we're going to give it our best. And that's what I need, and I think this community will do this. And in conclusion, the game that I'm going to play is Fear Conquest.
Nice.
And I'm playing that game because I want to minimize my polarization when I feel rejection, and I want to expand the number of players that I have on my team. So I think that this will be a safe but a challenging environment to tackle my first game.
Awesome. Thank you, Donna. That's brilliant. Very excited. You're right on schedule. Love it. Using the train metaphor. So right on schedule, the train is leaving the station. Hopefully you're on board.